Well, documents obtained by the Globe and Mail newspaper indicate Canada was on the verge of accepting some Uyghur prisoners from Guantanamo Bay, but it pulled back in spite of some pressure from the United States. And my colleague Lynn Desjardins joins me now with more on the story. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, Mark.
I guess we should start out by having you explain just a little bit of how these ethnic Uyghurs ended up in Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, Mark, it seems like it was really bad luck. It was after September 11th when the United States declared its war on terrorism. That was back in 2001. The Uyghurs are an ethnic Muslim minority in China, and it's a minority which has been fighting for some independence from China, fighting pretty fiercely. About two dozen of these ethnic Uyghurs were in Pakistan, and they were caught up in a general sweep of anyone who could be remotely connected to terrorism. Wells Dixon is a lawyer at the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York City, and he represents some of the Uyghurs who were imprisoned.
It is well known at this point that the Uyghurs were captured by mistake. You know, things happen in the fog of war. People get captured who don't deserve to be captured. You know, in the case of the Uyghurs, they were rounded up by bounty hunters, and they were sold to the United States for a bounty at approximately $5,000 per person. What is terrible about Guantanamo Bay, among other things, is the fact that the United States has made no effort to try to release, or successfully release, I should say, the men who are there, don't deserve to be there.
Mr. Dixon says 17 Uyghurs were imprisoned. He took the matter to court and was on the verge of securing the release of five of them when the United States whisked them to Albania to avoid the embarrassment of losing the case.
Albania?
Yes.
Why Albania?
Well, you know, Mark, it really epitomizes this larger problem the U.S. has of about 50 prisoners it's holding, which it cannot release to their countries of origin because they would be tortured or otherwise persecuted. So it has lobbied several countries to take them, and at the same time, China was lobbying hard to make sure no country accepted them. Alex Neve of Amnesty International Canada says the United States made the mistake. The United States should have accepted them.
It doesn't have to be Canada, but it has to be a country that can offer them a safe haven. We certainly have highlighted that really it's the U.S. government that bears primary responsibility here. They're the ones who operate Guantanamo Bay. They're the ones who, in many respects, put these individuals in the circumstances they are now, where they do face this real danger. And it's very regrettable and quite shameful that the U.S. is not prepared to simply, for instance, allow them to be released and remain in the United States. That having been said, who knows whether these individuals would want to have anything to do with the United States after the way they've been treated at Guantanamo Bay. So it becomes important for there to be some other country which could be a safe haven.
Now, Alex Neve says it's difficult for the Uyghurs in Albania because there's no Uyghur community there to help them integrate. And Albania was one of the only countries that responded to U.S. pressure to take them because they essentially were looking for U.S. support to get into the European Union, and apparently they owed the U.S. a few other favors.
All right. Now, why wouldn't the United States accept them in the first place?
Well, lawyer Wells Dixon says that the Bush administration simply does not want to admit that it made a mistake, would not want the publicity of have these guys running around in the United States.
All right. Where does Canada come in? I mean, apparently we were going to, willing to accept them, then we changed our mind.
That's right.
What's the situation?
Well, at the time, Mark, you may remember that Canada was working hard on behalf of Hussein Jalil. He's a Canadian of Uyghur descent who happened to be traveling on his Canadian passport. He was arrested. He was imprisoned in China. Charles Burton used to advise the Canadian embassy in China, and he's a longtime China watcher and tells us a bit about the situation.
This Jalil case was ongoing at the time, and I guess that that was a major factor. And I suppose, in general, concerns about bringing anyone out of the Guantanamo Bay prison was politically sensitive. And then there were also the ongoing negotiations over the Jalil case, and I think a feeling that the Chinese government would be very unhappy about any country that received these Uyghurs. The Chinese government's view is that the Uyghurs that were held in Guantanamo Bay are absolutely terrorists and should be subject to return to China and subject to trial and imprisonment in China.
Now, that being said, Mr. Burton thinks that Canada could have taken in the Uyghur prisoners from Guantanamo Bay. He doesn't think it really would have changed things for Mr. Jalil, who has been sentenced to death, by the way, and is still imprisoned by the Chinese, and the Chinese steadfastly refuse to give Canadian officials access to him, and they refuse to acknowledge that he's even a Canadian citizen. And Mr. Burton thinks that China's really on thin ground on this. As for the other countries, Alex Neeb of Amnesty says they are afraid of Chinese sanctions.
Governments don't want to offend the Chinese government. We see that play out with respect to a whole host of Chinese human rights issues and have seen that for many years now. Governments are so concerned about boosting their trade and investment relationship with China that they worry about taking too strong a stand on human rights cases out of concern that that might offend the Chinese and therefore imperil the trade relationship. That's clearly what's at play here, and we have spoken out and criticized the Canadian government's policies with respect to that balance between trade and human rights in the Chinese relationship, and certainly have done so with respect to a number of other countries, and we will continue to do so. Human rights should never be given short shrift in these ways and sold short to trade concerns.
Mr. Neeb says this is a real concern, and Mr. Burton, too, raised the issue, you know, that as China becomes more of a world power, it chooses its own interpretation of, for example, trade agreements and human rights covenants, United Nations human rights covenants. And Mr. Burton wonders about the long-term implications for social justice and fairness in the world.
Interesting indeed. Now, where does all this actually leave the remaining Uyghur prisoners?
Well, their lawyer says in one of the nastiest wings of Guantanamo prison.
Well, it leaves my clients in Camp 6 in Guantanamo. Camp 6 is really the worst that Guantanamo Bay has to offer. They are now in isolation, in single occupancy cells, and they spend their days staring at white walls. And if they're lucky, and I emphasize if they're lucky, they have the opportunity to go outside maybe once every 2 or 3 days for approximately 1 hour, the only time they get to see the sun or have fresh air.
Mr. Dixon says he doesn't know why the Uyghurs are being held in Camp 6. There are other parts of the camp that are less severe. He says it makes no sense since they have been found to have done nothing wrong. And he says it's just one of the completely untenable situations at Guantanamo Bay.
Mm. It is strange, the things that happen in the fog of war, and it does seem strange also that they are being held in Camp 6. One wonders about that.
Yep.
Thank you very much for this, Lynn.
You're welcome, Mark.
And that is my colleague Lynn Desjardins with a story about the Uyghurs being held in Guantanamo Bay. If you have any thoughts about that, why not share them with us? Send us your opinions via email, and you can do that, thelink@rcinet.ca. That's thelink@rcinet.ca. Or you can call our answering line, and if you're calling from overseas, the country code for Canada is 1, and then the number is 514-597-7461. The number again, the country code for Canada is 1, and then 514-597-7461. Let's get to some music now on the program. We have Toronto singer-songwriter John McKistry, and for a couple of years, John was actually wandering the world. He